we'll be in good shape.
You want to plug in right?
I think so. These old recorders are a little fussy sometimes. But I like to have the old and the new because I think they help a lot.
How long did you put?
I have 90 minutes and then I have 13 hours.
90 on each side of this. Okay,
well, that'll yeah. We're in good shape. Testing, 1, 2, 3, 4. Testing, 1, 2, 3, 4. I don't know why this one is not being nice to me. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. There we go. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. So now we're cooking with gas. And we'll turn that up full. Alright.
Well, it's been a very good interview. I enjoyed it. Thank you. God bless you. I'll see you later.
Put that on. All right. First, the name of the narrator?
Walter J. Hickel.
And then Charles Fidullo is doing the interview. We are in Governor Hickel's office in the Captain Cook Hotel at Hickel Investments. This is Side A, Tape 1. It is Memorial Day week, May 26th. 2009. Tape 1, Side 1. So, as we go through this oral history, it is in the book that you showed me, Crisis in the Commons, but I'd like you to walk through a senator passes away, recent change in state law as to how governor appoints a senator to replace an open seat. How did you approach and come to the decision to choose Ted Stevens?
Very simple. He was not a personal friend. He was an Alaskan, but he was a survivor. And we needed a survivor, not a Republican, not a Democrat, but down the road, someone that was supporting Alaska. Because Alaska is an owner state. It's entirely different than any other state in the Union. If commons are owned by all its people, not by some company or something like that. And a lot of people didn't understand that, including Washington, D.C. and stuff. So I appointed Ted Stevens, not because he was a friend. I could have appointed Carl Brady, a good friend of mine, stuff like that. But Ted was a survivor, and I knew that. That's the only thing I was looking for. Someone that would be there long enough to understand that we are not a state like any state in the Union. We're the only country in the world that's owned in common that has a democracy.
So as you come to this conclusion, just reading historical references, when you talked to Richard Nixon about becoming Interior Secretary, you were passed a note, I believe, that said Senator had passed, Senator Gruning, and Senator Bartlett. Thank you. Senator Bartlett had passed. And what was the discussion with President Nixon like?
You mean for why I appointed Stevens?
Did he want... He
wanted me. I think...
He wanted you to become Senator?
No.
He wanted you to become Interior Secretary.
He appointed me because he wanted someone, and he knew this. He saw me take this to Truman. I told Truman why we couldn't become a state with only 3 million acres of land. He was just a young guy. He appointed me because he knew I didn't have any problem telling a cabinet officer, a Supreme Court justice, or a plumber, exactly what 2 and 2 was. That's why he appointed me. And he never, ever opposed me.
What about the discussion regarding who was going to become Alaska's next senator with President Nixon? Did he talk to you about that at all?
He didn't. He just wondered who I was going to appoint. And I says, I think I'd appoint Ted Stevens. He says, do you have the courage to appoint Ted Stevens? I just walked away. And I appointed.
You had promised Carl Brady at a different point that if any position came forward, you would name him. How did Mr. Brady respond when you made the decision?
He understood that because he knew that I needed a survivor and that I needed someone that would understand exactly what I was talking about, whether he's a friend of mine or not. And Carl Brady, Ted Stevens, was a survivor. He wasn't a friend, he was a survivor.
Why was it important? You've talked a little bit about all of the different aspects. Why was it important that you choose someone who wasn't your friend? You've talked about why that it's Senator Stevens. Why was that important?
Because I didn't want to appoint a guy just for political reasons. I wanted him to understand the uniqueness of Alaska. Alaska was not like any state in the Union. We're owned in common. And in owned in common means that all the outside interests think all it is money. And so I had to have someone that understood that. Stevens understood that. He was not a friend, personal, but he understood it. And I says, Ted, that's the direction I want to go. He says, I understand you.
A lot of people said Paul Edgar Boyko would have been, had the law not changed, the next senator. And you had worked closely with him.
If the law had not changed, what was that?
A law had recently been passed that when replacing a senator, the person replacing the senator did not need to be of the same party. So a Republican governor could choose a Republican senator.
Yeah.
A lot of people said that Paul Edgar Boyko would have been the next senator.
Who?
Edgar Paul Boyko.
Did you discuss that with him at all?
I didn't. Why would I appoint Edgar Paul Boyko? Do you remember?
No, I never heard that. was he Attorney General at the time?
He was Attorney General at the time, and some press reports had said, and he had said, that he thought that it was a way to keep him from becoming the next senator. Sounds like that's something that there's not much.
I didn't go into that. I appointed. When I do things, I don't get into those little details. I'm looking down the road. Where is this going to be 30 years from now? We've got to keep this going way down the road, not today or tomorrow. And Ted Stevens was a survivor. He was not a friend. He was a survivor. And I think with the conscience. And my conscience always leads me way down the road. And so Carl Brady was a real personal friend of mine. But Ted Stevens was a survivor.
When you look back at the job, well, let me ask you one other question. Rasmussen. Was Rasmussen ever in the running as somebody?
He might have been, but I wouldn't have appointed him. Nice guy. I know him. He's my neighbor. But I wouldn't have appointed him. And I wouldn't have appointed Carl Brady because, they're my personal friends. I was looking down the road of what's best for the state of Alaska. And we're the only country in the world that's owned in common that is a democracy. And we can't have just friends. We got to have somebody that could see the distance.
Why was that person Ted Stevens? You've said that he is, he was
a survivor.
What is that? Tell me what that means.
Well, it means a survivor is a little bit like Wally Hickel. I'm a survivor. I was just a kid with 37 cents. I came up here and I built a company. I survived. I built a country. I survived. I took it to Washington, D.C. I'm in Interior Secretary. I'm a survivor. I'm a survivor. I didn't become Secretary. No, I'm Secretary of Interior. Oh, yes, now. Bullshit. I did exactly what I thought was right. And that's history's got to prove that. And Nixon talked to me at great length about that one time, about a historical thing for Wally Hickel is the fact that he never changed his mind.
So
that was his statement, not mine.
So that you felt pretty strongly that Ted Stevens would be the best long-term solution.
He was a survivor.
And what when you look back at the job, what was his biggest strength and biggest weaknesses? 40 years. Yes. You appointed somebody to sit the longest term ever in the U.S. Senate.
Ted Stevens, the only way we could win in Alaska, that was by politics. We had to sell this idea of an owner state. And there's no one understood that. They were Republican or Democrat. Ted Stevens could survive through that. I saw that clear as a bell. And that's why I appointed him. Carl Brady would have been a great friend for 10 or 12 years, you know. But I needed someone to take that thought through there because we were changing the world. This state of Alaska changed the world. It's 84% owned in common, and now Russia wants to be like Alaska. China wants to be like Alaska. I've taken it over there. They all want to make a country like Alaska because it's very unique. And we're not just a state of the Union. We're a country of the world.
Talk about Senator Stevens' 40 years, his overall legacy.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you think his strengths and weaknesses were? What's he going to be remembered for?
Well, his survivor, Ted Stevens, is a believer in those things. I know that. It's very unusual. He is not just a senator. He has to represent a country that's unusual in America, and he did. He stayed there. He never asked me about anything. I never told him what to do, but he always stayed that line. He always stayed that line. And that was a commitment.
Did you think he would serve that long when you appointed him?
I thought I saw him as a survivor. If I changed anything from that, then I'd be changing them. But I saw him not as a friend, but as a survivor. Look how long he survived after Ted Brady died. And, I mean, Carl Brady. Carl was a personal friend. But Ted just survived.
What's his legacy? What's Ted Stevens' legacy?
Probably the owner state. You see, we're the only country in the world that has democracy, its own in common. Ted Stevens helped make that happen. It took him a long time to see it, but he sees it. I knew he'd see it after a certain number of years. I never ever called him and said, Ted, you have to do this, Ted, you have to do that. I just watched and saw that he supported Alaska as a survivor. And the president saw that. I took that to Nixon. I took it to Truman. I took it to... I didn't ask them what they thought. I told them what it was.
Talk to me a little bit about your relationship, how you met Senator Stevens, and how you two developed a relationship. I always think that it's...
I just met him here. He was never a personal friend. He was a good friend of Carl Brady's. And Carl said, you know, I think Ted Stevens could survive a long time. I remember sitting here. And I agreed with him on that. He didn't have to sell me. My little guy told me that. I have a little guy. You've probably seen him. New York Times had him on the front page with a little guy once. And I have a little guy that I don't care if it's the Pope, a president, or a prostitute. I'm going to tell him what I actually think. And not just because he's a Pope, president, or a prostitute.
Well, let me ask you, I mean, did your relationship with Senator Stevens ever have rough patches?
I never asked him for anything. What was there any one thing that I ever asked him? Do you remember?
Well, it's interesting though that you know many times he didn't back you. But
I know
when you
that.
For obviously, he supported who was it?
Jay
in the
Hammond.
Primary? Well, no, even earlier when he won in '66, he supported in the primary. He supported the former territorial governor. I'm blanking on his name.
Yeah.
Them.
That's right.
And then you looked at running several times through the 70s and 80s. He rarely backed you. He usually tried to talk you out of it. He never supported the LNG gas line, which
you believed in
so strongly for many years.
Right.
So it's not been, he's not necessarily been...
He was a personal friend, but he was a survivor. And that's why we had to be a survivor, because we were not like any state in the union. Get that straight. There's no fucking state in the union that's owned in common. No country in the world that's owned in common that has a democracy. And we took that state, and now you know what? China wants to be like Alaska. I've taken it. They've come over to see me. Russia wants to make it like Alaska. I've been over to Russia. They're great friends. Russia and China look like enemies, I mean, to a lot of people. They're not. They're owned in common, and they have that kind of a system. Russia is not an evil empire. I've been all through it. One time, I spent months traveling through there, and Russia is a friendly country, but they call it, our leaders call it an evil empire because they don't want to be like that.
What about over the years, how would you rate Senator Stevens, watching him in different legislative battles, ANCSA, ANILCA,
yeah.
How would you rate his skill as a legislator?
But he is also a survivor. Ted knows why I appointed him. Right at this desk I told him why. And so I never bothered him with it. I never talked to him about it. I never went to, when I went to Washington, I might see him, I might not, but that's some other thing.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, when during the statehood battle, you saw the power of seniority.
That's right.
And that was in your mind.
That's exactly right.
He saw it, and a small state needed seniority.
That's Ted exactly right.
And with that power, Ted did a lot for Alaska.
I knew Truman. I knew all those presidents. I was the only man in the history of America that served in the cabinet, didn't live in continental United States. They put me there because they knew I'd tell them two and two's four. They knew that. I didn't go and say, I wonder what they think. I let them know what I thought. And you know what? That's the most honest thing you can do. I'm tired of these people that just want to talk, they want to support the money people because they'll give them money to get elected. I never did that. Ever. And that changed a lot of things. And so history will show that in this owner state, you can be yourself if you're real. It's very different. China sees it. My God, Russia sees it. Oh, boy. I took it to Russia, I took it to China. I remember taking those countries, they're big countries, and I could make them believers, but I couldn't make those economic interests in Seattle believe that.
And Ted used that seniority very skillfully
on
many issues. There's no question.
You chose, and you thought he would be a survivor. You saw the importance of seniority.
That's right.
What are the main issues that you think Senator Stevens helped the state of Alaska with? You've talked about the owner state.
Yeah.
But what about military? What about the impact that he had on appropriations?
He could do whatever he wanted. That's important. And let him make that decision. He never came in and said, Wally, what do you think? I never called him up and said, this is what I think you ought to do. When it really got down to the owner state, it was very simple. But when it got to those individual things, let him make his own decision. And he finally came all the way around and saw the importance of that owner state. He saw it, boy, there's no doubt about it.
How do you think people are going to remember Senator Stevens?
The fact that I appointed him, but he didn't support me on anything.
You think you'll be remembered well for choosing him?
Do you think what?
Do you think that Governor Walter Hickel will be remembered well for choosing Senator Stevens?
Governor Walter Hickel is going to be remembered worldwide as the owner state. Russia sees it. China sees it. Who else am I thinking? Korea sees it. So
Certain countries in Africa are looking at it now.
That's exactly right. The people in Africa are asking me to come back down. I've been there three different times. And I've got grandchildren. So Africa now wants to make its country like Alaska. And that's going to change the world. Africa is big. God damn. It's rich as hell, but as poor as any country you've ever seen. I've walked that thing. It's a disaster. But that's because the economic interests want to control it. And boy, the world is seeing that. The world is seeing that. And so if we would manage the commons, this is an absolute belief of mine, if we manage the commons for the benefit of the region and its people, and not some leader, some oligarch, or some company like African Rest, we could eliminate poverty from this earth. And all you have to do is have a young guy, and I'm getting a few of them, with the guts to say, let's eliminate poverty from this earth, and I'll guarantee you the world's going to support it. And you know that who I think it is? Jack's children.
My son Jack Hickel, Dr. Jack Hickel, 16 years a medical missionary in Africa. One of his sons called the other day, he speaks Zulu. He's working with the activists and the thinkers in South Africa to look at other strategies, sort of beyond the socialism, beyond the capitalism, with all the Wall Street mess and everything. What's the alternative? The Alaska alternative is quite exciting.
That's exactly
because
right.
Because our Constitution, as you know, Charles, requires that our resources belong to our people and the benefits must go to them.
It's in the Constitution. And a lot of people in America don't give a shit about that or know anything about it. They don't want to take on the money people. Get the story out there. God damn it, it's real.
Let me ask you a question. You know, you're a passionate person.
Yeah.
Ted Stevens is a pretty passionate guy, too.
Well,
Go ahead. People talk about his temper. Did his temper hurt him? Did his temper help him?
I don't have a temper. I have a belief. Jesus Christ had a temper. I'm an Old Testament guy. Do you look back at all those leaders? They didn't have tempers. They had ideas. Ideas are more powerful than money. And I learned that as a little boy. My mother told, I'm about 4 or 5 years old, or either, had older sisters. My mother says, Walter is different. And she treated me different. That's treating with 10 children. She didn't try to hold me back. They didn't tell me. I went to the world. I had no money, but I had an idea. And she said, Walter has an idea. She tells Gertrude and Catherine, two sisters older than I did. But mother saw it, and that's important. And that you got to see it in the future and not at the moment. The eyes reflect the mind. The faith reflects the heart. Clear eyes, clear mind. Open face, open heart. And that's the way I told that as a young boy. And I've seen great teachers come and say, and listen to that. I'm not a teacher, whatever the name. You've seen me do that.
You bet. You bet.
I've taken it to the UN. You know, I gave a speech once at the UN, didn't I?
94. Why war? Why not big projects?
That's exactly right. I took that to UN. I didn't say, well, maybe you ought to do this. Why war? Why not big projects? You know, wars are just big projects. Change the UN. Ideas will change it. That's why Nixon took me to Washington. He said, and he never argued with me. I remember Kissinger tried his damnedest to do something one time. And I got him thrown out of the cabinet. I'm just a kid.
Tell me,
that's a historical fact.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, how does you seem to have this tie with Senator Stevens about your ability to kind of see things and say, let's look into the future.
Right.
What when people look back, when they say 10 years from now, 20 years from now,
50 years from now,
50 years from now, what was the relationship between Senator Ted Stevens and Walter Hickel? You called him a survivor. You've said you're not personal friends, but how will you two be linked and how will you two be remembered?
We're not linked. I never have taken him to dinner. I never have him here to talk. He'll ask me, what's the wall? I'm a survivor with ideas. And I was born and raised with the Old Testament. Two sisters read to me 1 hour a day out of the Old Testament when I was about five, six, and seven years old. And that Old Testament, the New Testament wouldn't work. The Old Testament was, say, right to the point. And that's what they read me. And that was my whole history. I had never forgotten. Sister Flavia and Sister Seraphine and Sister, one of those sisters, I'm trying to remember which one, called me back when she was 96 years old. And the time they taught me was when I was 5, 6, and 7 years old. I went to school when I was 5, 6, and 7 years old. They read to me 1 hour a day for 2 years. And the book they read me out of was the Old Testament. That's the only education I remembered at all. I didn't write it down. I couldn't write. But I had a memory mind. That's exactly my education. And I have 14 honorary college degrees and 1 school.
So, I mean, what are the significant issues you think over the 40 years that Senator Stevens was in office that he addressed?
He's a survivor. That's the only reason I appointed him. He was a survivor. We didn't need guys to get elected every time to put some fence in Kenai or something like that. Ted Stevens, I saw that. Right. He was not a friend, but he was a survivor. I saw it.
And Charles, your memo lists all of the big ones. All of the big ones. A Native Claims Settlement Act, the 200-mile limit.
Magnuson Stevens.
Absolutely. All of these big ones. He was part of all those decisions were being made that affected Alaska, those massive federal laws.
Yeah.
That he was there for, and he was tough, and he was in there swinging for Alaska. Now, all his decisions weren't right, and Governor Hinkle didn't agree with all his decisions.
Right.
But he was in there swinging.
That's
and
right.
Fighting for Alaska and Alaska benefits.
I never criticized him, even to this day. He never supported me in anything, but he supported the idea.
How about the one thing that's probably the most uncomfortable for people to talk about is the indictment, conviction, court case being thrown out against Senator Stevens. Do you have any thoughts on that?
This is the lawsuit that Stevens just went through, with the Bill Allen issue.
Oh, the Bill Allen lawsuit. Yeah.
And then, he was convicted on, 7 counts, and then they were all thrown out for mismanagement of the prosecution. So that was the case that actually led to his defeat at the Senate re-election to Begich last year.
That's right. Why? If that happens, it happens. Look at Jesus Christ. He got crucified. But he didn't give up. And I remember the teachers teaching me that. I only had 2 years of education. That's when the Sister Flavia Sisterfish read to me out of the Old Testament. 1 hour a day for 2 years. That was my whole education.
And Charles, in those days, they didn't know about dyslexia.
No.
You're dyslexic, sir?
Yeah, I couldn't read. I couldn't read anything. But boy, I could remember. I could remember anything, and I could repeat it to the President of the United States or to anybody. And that's what those sisters could. And Sister Flavia, or Seraphine, called me when she was 96 years old, I told you. And she said,
I've been watching you, didn't she say? I've been following you all these years.
Following you for
that's
all those
funny.
Years. Just think of it. I was about 8 years old the last time she talked to me. And she was 96 then. She must I don't know how old she was before that. But she was very young. But she followed me all her life through there.
You know, they didn't understand dyslexia. They told education authorities who visited the school that if they could give Walter his tests orally, he'd get A's.
That's right.
But they didn't understand the deal. And so he couldn't read or write.
I couldn't read or write. I could get A's and everything, but I couldn't write.
Let me ask you a question. The one thing that always strikes me is you came to Alaska with 37 cents in your pocket.
I was looking for a country that really needed help. And I wanted to go to Australia and thank her. But I didn't have a passport. I didn't know what a passport was. Where can I go without a passport? They named Guam, Philippines, Virgin Islands, Panama Canal, Hawaii. Now, the last place they mentioned was Alaska. I'd never heard of it. How far up in Alaska can I go? It's a true story. There's a steamship coming, Los Angeles. Well, young man, if you'd come in here a couple of weeks ago, we could have taken you to Nome. That was in the 1st of October, 1940. Boy, I'm glad I didn't make it to Nome. They says, we can take it. Now as far as we can take it is Seward. So I said, I'll go to Seward. And I hit the hike way up to Seattle. And I slept in the engine room of that boat for 7 days and seven nights. And they fed me two meals a day. And that's how I got to Seward. And when I got to Seward, a man, an old Filipino guy, Mert, he loaned me $10 to get to Anchorage, and it was the 1st of October, it was cold, I had no clothes or nothing, and one guy gave me a sleeping bag, and this guy gave me $10, and that's how I got to Anchorage at 37 cents.
Governor, tell Charles about coming into Prince William Sound and seeing the Wrangell Mountains.
Oh, I was coming into Prince William Sound, I used to go and look at those mountains. That, oh God, it was a 7 day trip. And I looked at those mountains, I made a commitment, great commitment. I said, you take care of me and I'll take care of you. He's kept his word and I've kept mine. That's all you have to do, keep your word. I don't care if it's with a whore or a saint. Keep your word and it works.
So talk about the comparison. I always think this comparison is interesting, that these two people who have had such a huge impact on the state of Alaska, one comes to Alaska $600 in debt, the other comes to Alaska with 37 cents in his pocket. They're not friends, they're not close, but they shape the state. How do these two people...
Who are you talking about?
You and Senator Ted Stevens.
Well, I appointed him, you never made it. I know.
Do you find any sort of similarities to your background or to your approach to things?
No, he's a believer. That's all I know. I didn't give him anything to write. He's a believer. I didn't bother him. Once in a while he'd ask me something, and I never bothered him when he was a senator. I never bothered him with anything. Nixon knew that. Nixon knew that I had a way of convincing people. That's why he took me in the cabinet. I'm the only guy in the history of the world ever served in the cabinet. Didn't have an education.
But didn't live in continental United States.
I didn't live in continental United States.
How do you, when you look back, I mean, and I'm asking you a similar question, but 40 years, you appointed the guy that has probably brought more money to Alaska than any politician ever.
I saw his ability. Absolutely.
I mean, did he meet your expectations? Did he
exceed your... No, I didn't ask him for that. I didn't tell him he had to do anything. I'm trying to tell him what I appointed. What did I tell him?
Well, you told him that we needed seniority and you needed a survivor.
That's exactly. I said, Ted, we need seniority and we need a survivor. I pointed to the survivor.
And you didn't think that the other potential candidates for that post
Carl Brady was my personal friend. He lived with me and everything. But Carl Brady wasn't that kind of a guy.
And what do you mean by that kind of a guy? Ted Stevens is dogged. doesn't quit, doesn't give up. Is that what you're talking about? Just this sort of...
Carl Brady was a personal friend. You know Carl?
Mm-hmm.
I told him I was not going to appoint him. I was going to appoint him.
Didn't you have a meeting in your home, Governor? You called Ted back from Mexico.
Yeah.
He'd left politics.
Yep.
And you and Carl and Ted met in your home.
That's right.
And you talked it out with him, and you said, I'm going to pick Ted for these reasons.
That's
and
exactly
Carl understood
right.
it. Carl was also a man of great integrity.
Yeah, Ted, Carl wasn't that tough. But I said, no. I'm pointing to, and Ted was not a friend. Ted was a survivor, and that's why I pointed to Ted. You've got to do things from here and not from this billfold. I'm telling you.
Here meaning your gut.
Yeah. No, your gut instead of your pocketbook.
Well,
no
that's
doubt.
Why I'm the only man in the history of the world that served in the cabinet that didn't live in the United States. And the reason Nixon took me, because I could handle guys like Kissinger. Kissinger was a disaster. You ever read those stories on history?
Mm-hmm.
Kissinger?
You should tell Charles the stories when Kissinger came in and said, you can't put the whales on the endangered species list because we need the oil for the space program.
Go ahead. I know what
And
I
Wally answered. Said, now these are my words, I wasn't in the meeting, but it was basically this measure. What the fuck are you going to do when there are no more whales?
That's exactly
Kissinger,
what I said.
And Kissinger, the
we'll wipe
Department
them out.
Said, well, we'll probably find a substitute. Well, you find that fucking substitute because I'm putting them on the list.
That's
was the
exactly
last thing
what
he
I
did. He signed it November 25, 1970, after Nixon had signed it. It was the first action by any country in the world to save the eight major species of whales,
that's
including
exactly
the blue.
Exactly right.
This man did it over Kissinger and these other guys.
I just did it. You know, I don't care what they did. That's why Nixon put me in there, because Kissinger was owned by the top interest. He was smart. But he was owned by the very top interest. Didn't bother me a bit, I just kicked him out. You can do anything if you believe. I'm a study of the Old Testament. What did Jesus Christ do when he crucified you? He still licked him. See my point? I'm a believer. And that's the way it is. I was taught by Sister Flavia and Sister Seraphine. And I told the story, but one of them called me.
Well, we've had almost an hour, Charles. And
well, I was going to just say, is there anything you'd like to add?
Like to add?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to be around as a young man until I die. I'll be 90 years old in August. I might live to be 110, 104, or I could die any time. But I'm going to always be young, and I'm going to tell you 2 and 2 is 4.
Governor Hickel, thank you. And joining us for the interview, end of 1A, was Malcolm Roberts, Governor's longtime assistant, author, and friend.
This book here...